In your Bibles, in your iPad, in your iPod, in your laptop, whatever you carry with you today, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read the first 14 verses there. If you're following along in our pew Bible, it's found on page 1058. The Apostle Paul, as he is moved by God's Spirit, to write these words to the Corinthian church and even to us today. He writes, about matters of the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. You know how, when you were pagans, you were led to dumb idols, being led astray. And therefore, I am informing you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. Or no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God is active in everyone and everything. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given the wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of languages, to another interpretation of languages. But one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each as he wills. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one, but many in its parts. Let's pray as we just ask God to enlighten this passage to us this morning. Father, as we now take these moments and look to your word, we pray that you'll enable us to cast aside the cares, the weights of the world, anything that would distract from hearing your voice by your Spirit, and just allow us to hear you, to open our minds, our very wills, that you'll shape us and make us more like Jesus. That's really the very purpose for our existence as individuals and for us as a church, to be devoted followers of Jesus, making disciples. We want to be that disciple that Jesus has us to be. And so take this time, God, open your word, speak to us, change us, shape us, mold us as your son. And we thank you for being here and for doing what you will. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Last Wednesday, I guess it was, Wednesday evening, Patty and I were home and I was walking into the family room. That's where, back on December 26th, all of our kids came up, and that was the day that we celebrated Christmas in the Smith household. December 26th, all the kids came up, and we gathered around. We filled the family room. Golly, what were about 20 of them? And we started opening up the packages. We had left some of them there. And so when Wednesday evening came, and we kind of were going to begin to put them where they belong, finally, I noticed there were a couple packages that were there. And I got to tell you, I was excited. I thought, oh man, this is great. All these weeks later, and we got a couple extra packages we can open. I wonder what we got that I wasn't aware of. And I said, hey, man, we got more packages. Let's tear them open. And she goes, oh, no. I said, what do you mean, no. She goes, they're not ours. I said, but they're with our stuff. Because what, they're not ours. I said, well, whose are they? They're my sister's. They're not opened yet. I didn't tell her. I wanted to say, let's open it up and see what we're going to give them, because I don't remember. We didn't. And it reminded me, as I thought about it at the time, it was that many years ago, that came time for spring cleaning. I was actually, it's late spring cleaning, it's probably late May, early June, and we went into a closet, and there was a package or two that were all wrapped up. They were like, wow, look at this. And the worst part is, I couldn't remember, because we used the same wrapping paper, I couldn't remember, was it possible that these were gifts that I was supposed to give to her that I forgot about, or she was about to give to me that I forgot about? Well, what do you know, we've got a little curtain, make catch or tell, so we open it up, and here we discovered Christmas gifts that had been sitting there for all these months. We were just completely unaware that we had it. And as I thought about that experience as I was preparing over the last weeks to share this message with you, God laid in my heart, it's very much the case what we're going to be talking about this morning for a few moments regarding spiritual gifts. We've been in a little bit of a series about the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that God is one, but he's one God of three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. As we talked about this past week in Bible study, God is the one who plans our salvation. God the Son purchased our salvation when he died for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. And it's the Holy Spirit, now that Christ is sent, and it's the Holy Spirit that personalizes that salvation in our lives. And he does that in a number of ways. First, he empowers us. Last week we talked about the fact that he has fruit. If we are followers of Jesus, then he's going to grow fruit. It's character, qualities that reflect God: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. They begin to grow in our lives. It's a passage from the scriptures that we read about where literally Romans, in the book of Romans, when Paul, who writes this letter to Corinth that we're going to look at, in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 9, he literally says these words: if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And so what he's saying basically in the simple vernacular of the Brad Smith translation is, if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then God's Holy Spirit lives within each and every one of you as a follower of Jesus. And if the Spirit does not live within you, if, as an example, you don't appear to manifest those qualities and characteristics of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control in a greater measure over your years as you live as a Christian, if they're kind of missing, Paul's kind of saying, you may need to scratch your head and say, well, if you don't have that in your life, do you really, really have Jesus in your life? But if you have Jesus in your life, he's going to build that fruit, that character that we talked about last week. But I feel like that game show house, but there's more! Who is that? I can't remember what that, who is that? But there's more! You get more! Yeah, some game show, but there's more! Paul tells us in this chapter of 1 Corinthians that when we become followers of Jesus, he gives us gifts. And that's what I want us to look at today. And in this passage of scripture, he's writing a letter to a church that he helped to form. And if you read through this letter, it's clear that they've had some questions. And also along with those questions, he's observed that things aren't necessarily happening in this church the way they should. And so he's writing to answer some questions, to clear things up and to straighten some things out. And one of those areas that he talks about, he's going to straighten out, is the idea that he had told them, God is gifting you. God is going to give you a spiritual gift, the gifts of the Spirit of God. And what I want to begin, if you're following along today, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, what God informs us through Paul and confirms to you and I, as he did to the Corinthian church in that day, is the first thing to understand this: that God has given each and every one of us a gift. And in some cases, Paul's an example. We read in two separate places, he speaks of two gifts that he has, that God has given you a gift. And in many people, he's given you more than one. Now, the word that he used, gift, is a very wonderful word, charismata. It's where some of you have heard a group of followers of Jesus called charismatic, Pentecostal. And they see how God has given them gifts and they're all moved and following those gifts, want to be empowered by those gifts. And what Paul is saying to them is that God has given you a gift. If you follow along in this passage of Scripture, he says about the matters of the Spirit. And in verse 7, it says, a manifestation of the Spirit, it's a gift, is given to each person to produce what's beneficial. And then he's going to make a list of them. And notice what he says. A manifestation is given to most people, some people. What does it actually say there? It says to each person. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you have been given at least one gift, one manifestation. It's not something we earn. This manifestation, this word charismatic, comes from the word charis, which is the word grace. And so God gives you a grace, an empowered grace, something that he gives you. We don't deserve it. And when you look at it, it's not necessarily people say, oh, so you know, I've got natural talent. No. We're not talking here about a natural talent that you've been born with. Now, he may take that spiritual gift, and it may be that he takes a natural talent that he gave you, and all of a sudden, he just takes and he puts that talent, he makes it a spiritual gift where he puts that natural talent on steroids. And you're able to do things through that natural talent that you don't necessarily do normally. I, from my very earliest days, was given some semblance of an ability and a comfort level at speaking in public, as you can tell. And it's as far back as I can remember I was that way. And so when I went to high school, every class that I was in, they had to have somebody give read something publicly, present something publicly. Guess who got called on it? And here's the problem. I didn't like it. And to make matters worse, because I was a preacher's kid, you know how they handled it? The teacher literally looked at me and said, hey, Rev, come on up front here and read this. I hated that. Don't call me Rev, and why do I have to be the poor schmuck that gets to do this reading all the time? Because nobody else wanted to. And that was just something I was born with. But what I've discovered over my years as a pastor is that God has built that into a spiritual gift where I will stand up on a Sunday and preach sermons that I don't even like. I can't wait for them to be over. I mean, seriously, if I was a chicken, I laid an egg that day. I mean, I'm just like miserable with myself. And then I walk out and I talk to somebody and they say to me, who told you I was going through what I am? I mean, you just spoke to me like we were having a conversation this morning. How? I don't know. That's the Spirit of God working. It's not me. It's not any natural ability that God has birthed me with. But it's something that God takes what I had, and then he builds on that and works his Spirit through that to be a blessing. And sometimes he'll even lead you to do something that may even be beyond you. And I've had people come to me with gifts and say, I didn't even know what I knew. You did. God gave that to you, and in very many ways, it kind of lay dormant. And you may not even realize how wonderful and valuable it is. A couple of Christmases ago, our grandson, Blake, I guess he was probably about 3 at the time, maybe. I think he was 3. He and Dylan, twins, one of the gifts that Patty gave them was a little box. And, of course, they're opening up these gifts, and they tear open this. Oh, this is great. This is exciting. They open the box, and they pull it out. He goes, oh, great. Throws it on the floor. What's next? Well, my wife is holding on to me because I'm ready to dive on the floor because there are $10 bills laying on the floor. And I can see ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. Mom, you know what I could buy with that kid? If they don't want it, I'll take it. At 3 years of age, they did not realize the gift that they had just been given. Take those dollar bills, go to Toys R Us, and buy whatever you want. My kids this year didn't buy me any clothes, any socks. You know what I got? I got my favorite thing next to cash. I got gift cards. So now I can go to Under Armour, and I know what I'm getting because I can get what I want. I got I got Amazon. I can get what I want. I go to Starbucks. I can drink Starbucks all year long. Great. I get it, but they didn't. And folks, in your life and mine, many of us may not be aware, until today, you now have been duly aware, made aware, that God has given you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, at least one gift. Maybe more. And the value of it, you are just about to discover, if you're discovering, I have a gift, yeah, you do. And here's the key. When you look at this, it says next that he's given it to each person what is beneficial, or what other passages say for other translations, for the good of others. What he's saying first with that idea is God expects you and I to use that gift. Not to take and say, oh, look at the gift I have. Put as a trophy on the mantle and admire it. He says literally his intention for us is that we will use that gift. I gave you a passage of scripture from Jesus. Jesus is speaking of one who's going to leave, and he's going to entrust those who are working for him with items, gifts, if you will. He's speaking really of himself, but using a story. And the idea is he's leaving and he's going to come back. The owner is entrusting to his servants something very wonderful. And then he's going to come back and he's going to see, what did they do with these gifts that he gave them? And of course, we know two of them took, they used them, they invested in them, used them wisely, and made more than what they were given. And when he comes back, the master says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. And so now I will give you many more responsibilities, opportunities. Let's celebrate together. Ah, but there was one that he looked at Jesus and, you know, in the story of Jesus, he's given what he's able to handle, but he doesn't do anything with it. It's as good as just sticking it in the ground, burying it, covering it up. And when Jesus returns, Jesus gives him this gift, is what he's saying. And he comes back, and nothing's come of it. He goes, oh, here's that gift I gave you. Nothing was used. It wasn't used. Just tucked away, placed on the mantle. Nothing happened. And what does Jesus say in that response? He's your wicked and lazy servant. If you knew that I harvested crops, I didn't plant and gather crops, I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit, at least deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest. And so he ordered him, take away that money from the servant and give it to the one who has 10 bags of silver. What is Jesus saying here? What's the concept? You ever heard the concept of use it or lose it? Use it or lose it. What he's saying is, look, I've given this to you, and he gave it to you to do something with it. Now, if you got it, be aware of it and put your heart into it. Put it into practice. Use this gift I've given you. Don't waste it. One of my favorite movies, you know, because I refer to it regularly, is the movie Rudy. Not Rudy Rudiger, who had a passion and desire through all his life to play as a football player on Notre Dame Fighting Irish. As the movie's coming to the end, it refers to a practice that they're having. And during this practice, it's the last practice of the season before the final game against Georgia Tech. There's a running back named Jamie O'Hara, and the ball is flipped to him, and Rudy, who is nothing more than a prep team member at this point, basically, he runs with everything and with all the heart he has, whatever little gift he has, he was going to use, and he runs and he grabs a hold of him and he plants Jamie O'Hara in the ground. Well, Jamie's not too happy about that, and he gets up and he's so angry. He just throws the ball in front of Rudy, hits him right in the face mask, and he starts screaming and yelling at him. He's cursing at him. And the coach at that time, Eric Persegan, comes over and goes, what's the matter? What's the matter with you? And of course he says, ah, It's the last practice of the season, and I won't use the expletive that he uses, but he is playing like it's the Super Bowl. And Coach Barsegian says, that just sums up your entire career here. He literally says these words. He goes, in one sentence, this sums up your sorry career. If you had just one-tenth of the heart of Rudy, you could have made it to All-American. As it is, you've just gone from third team to prep team. Now get out of here. Now understand the picture of that. It's not ends, because at the end of the movie, it's wrapping up. They're bringing it all together. Some of the last play in the game, the announcer makes this comment. One of the players going into the game now is Jamie O'Hara, the running back. You may remember that he was heavily recruited throughout the country, and he came to Notre Dame. I suppose it's safe to say that his career has been a disappointment. He began the gift, as Coach Persigian said, and he just never used it to its fullest. Just let it go. And you know what? That's what I am so concerned about in my life and for you. The day is coming, just like that little story I referred to of Jesus, where he's going to return. He says, I gave you a gift, or more, through the Holy Spirit. Did you use that gift? I want to hear him say those words. Well done, Brad. Well done, good and faithful servant. Can I tell you the last thing I want to hear? It's safe to say that your career has been a complete disappointment. Oh, that scares me to no end. I don't want that. I want to hear well done. I want to use that gift, but how do we use it? What he says is, he says, use it for what's beneficial, for the good of others. And what he's going to tell us as he continues, and we're going to look at in the following weeks, is that we are part of a body. We're part of a family. And he wants us to use that gift, not for us, to use it for the benefit of the family. Because it says one's an eye, one's an ear, one's a foot, one's an arm. And we all fit together in what he's doing. And when one of us doesn't exercise that gift, you're not the only one that suffers. There are people that you can look at around you this morning. When you're not using your gift, they're suffering too, because they need you just like you need them. And you'll suffer if they don't use their gift. Notice what it says in Ephesians 4:16. God makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing. And what he's going to point out, what's lacking in that church and lacking in so many today, it's full of love. And that's what he wants. Let me illustrate it this way. Pastor Wayne Gurdira is a pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, Hawaii. And he tells about an experience that some of you will have. I'm going to give your age away if you admit that you know this. How many of you remember when Phil Donahue was on TV in the morning? Anybody on it to remember that? Remember that? Remember Phil Donahue?
Yeah.
Phil Donahue had on three bodybuilders. Somehow I think I remember that, because when I read the story, I had this picture because I would watch him. And these three bodybuilders come out. As you can tell, I'm not one of them. And they're all greased up, and they stand there, and after a period of time of doing their flexing, you know, their backs doing their thing, they go sit down. And now as they're sitting there, Phil's kind of perplexed, and he's giggling a little bit, and he says, okay, now that we've seen that, what do you use your muscles for during the week? Do you work somewhere? I mean, you have so many muscles, what do you do to use them for? Well, the first guy stood up, and what's he do? Just does one of these things, and of course the muscles bulge. Didn't say a word. With that, he goes, sits down. Phil giggles a little bit. Yeah, that's good. What do you use the muscles for? The second guy gets up, pulls his thigh out, begins to flex, and the thigh muscles go boop to the boop to the boop to the boop. And he goes and sits down. That's great. And I was really starting to giggle. He says, but read my lips. What do you use them for? And the third guy gets up and kind of just does things with his back muscles, and he went and sits down. And pretty much everybody started to laugh. It appears that, what did they use these muscles for? To flex for themselves. But that's it. But nothing else. And when he says, Pastor Kadira said, I looked down and thought, how true can that possibly be for us as a church? Where God has given us these spiritual muscles called gifts, and we flex them to ourselves, but are we really using them for the body of Jesus Christ? You see, the phrase that I would have for you is, God has given the gift to use for us in loving Him and others. The whole idea is for us to use our gifts in love to God and love for others, particularly our church brothers and sisters, and even those in our community, and that's what's so key. I hated to use this name, but I had to because I love this phrase. Scott Paoli, back for about 5-6 years, was the vice president of personnel, director of personnel, with the New England Patriots. Okay, everybody want to go, boo. Actually, I like the Patriots. I'm in trouble. He's right now, of all things, he's now with the Atlanta Falcons. Imagine that. He obviously knows how to produce a winner. And in about 2003-2004, the team got to an incredible start. If you follow history, they would win the Super Bowl that year, the Patriots. Well, he and Coach Belichick saw themselves as building a team, and they brought guys in that they were disruptive in other teams. And so who would want these guys? Well, they go talk to them and say, hey, don't come and be disruptive here. You want to come here. You fit into your scheme of a team because we're building a team here. And he literally had this plaque on his wall. And I think this is a plaque that would be really good on church walls where it says, we're building a team, not collecting talent. Are you with me in that? We're building a team, not collecting talent. We have been given all the gifts God says we need as a church. But if all we're doing is sitting there in the church pews and in your homes and not being used, we're just collecting talent. It's only when you discover your gift and get up and begin to use that gift with us as a church family and in your life that we really become what he says is a team. And so let me wrap this up for you. As a follower of Jesus, the first thing you need to say to yourself is, I have been gifted. And so, the first question to ask is, what gift have I been given? There are three places in the Bible that speak of what's really a collection of 30 different gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. There are at least 30 identifiable gifts, and I think there's more, that God gives his people. Question is, what is your gift? And here's the problem that churches can have. Problem is, we may be asking you to do a ministry that you really don't feel is your gift and you're really not interested in. And the way around that, and why some people have stopped going to church, we've been told, is because we force them into using this gift that they don't want to use. And the only way to avoid it, they don't have this gift, really. It's not their gift. They're not interested. They just stop going to church because if I stop going, they'll stop asking me to do what I don't want to do. There's a guy who's the executive pastor at Daystar Church with Ministry 24 to Double that we're part of here. We're going to be telling you about that more in year 2016. He's the executive pastor, but when he first went to that church, he was not. He worked in business, and he walked in with his wife and children. And guess what happens when he walks in with his wife and children? They said, oh, look, you have children. We're going to put you in our children's ministry. Now, can you imagine what he said? He goes, stick me in your children's ministry. See, what this church didn't understand, because I love my kids, didn't mean I even liked your kids. Think about that. I love my kids, but I didn't necessarily like your kids. And I didn't want to be involved in children's ministry. So he began to make excuses to his wife that he had to work, so he didn't have to go to church, and they couldn't ask him to work in the children's ministry. Guess what we do in the church when we see people walking through the door of our church with children? Oh, there's somebody for children's ministry. Somebody that's got youth. Oh, there's somebody for youth ministry. And they're saying, I barely like my youth. I'm sure I don't like yours. They're teenagers, for heaven's sakes. And then he discovered his gift. Today, he's a full-time executive pastor in the church. When you discover that gift, it was a webinar I did this week for 4 hours on trends in the church today for pastors and churches. And they told about a guy named Bill. I thought for sure, and they did this, I believe it was in New Jersey, I swear they came to our church. And they came across a guy named Bill. Because this Bill, they were talking to kids who are millennials. And they get this idea, we have this idea, millennials, they want to connect with older people, they just want their own little world, you got to have younger people, younger pastors, younger people, younger, you know, members of the church are working with these. And what they discover is that's not true. Millennials are definitely not that. They appreciate folks who are older. They can actually see them as mentors that will speak into their life. And this Bill in particular, when they identified these kids in this one church, when they asked what was the key factor of the kids in this church, they all pointed to Bill, who is way in his senior years. Bill? They said, yeah, Bill. Bill didn't have children around, no family. But how Bill? They said, well, Bill, because Bill comes to our games. He comes to our programs. He sits down and he listens to us. He talks to us. He helps us. He gives us some ideas to think about in our life. Bill's making a difference in my life. We've never gone to Bill in his 80s and asked him to help our youth ministry. They said, you're missing out. Age doesn't mean anything to these millennials. So what's the gift? And Bill had a gift, and Bill was making a difference in the life of millennials in his 80s. Sorry, Bill aging. I came here, Bill was almost his 80s. All the kids, isn't Bill going with us on our youth retreat? Everybody want Bill to go. That's you, that's me. Here's what I want to help you with today. I want to make this so practical, there's just no two ways around it. What's your gift? Are you using your gift? Who are you blessing with your gift? Inside, we've included this little inventory. Most people come to me and say, I don't know my gift. Inside is a little inventory. It will not take you long. 5 minutes will probably be a lot. If you really want to know your spiritual gift, one of the ways we can begin to lead you to that place is how you fill that out. And then when you're done, I'm going to make it easy. Inconspicuously, come on up front here and drop it here in this font. Just place it here, and I'm going to collect it. I'll collect them following the church. Or you can come to me during the week and give it to me. We're going to do this in Bible study. And then I go on the computer, and I feed the data into the computer. And we get a little bit of a read of where is God's gift? Where is he likely? Where are some areas that God has gifted you for you to look at? And you may be surprised. I've been reading more into people using this that have been surprised. The guy who's part of the ministry of 24 to Double, they stuck him in the parking lot ministry. He hated it. He did this inventory, discovered that he had a call for youth ministry. He goes, I went from hating the parking lot ministry. I couldn't wait for my turn to work with the youth. By the way, and I'm figuring we're going to have some people sitting out there going to be driven by, you got to sing. Because God gave you that gift and you got to sing. We're going to be working on that. Hey, would you pray with me? I'm going to pray that God's going to have you use this, open up your eyes to discover what it is if you do not know. What is your gift? To get to use that gift and use it to love him and to bless lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being here today. We thank you for this lesson. We've taken an extended period of time, but this is so important because this can change our life. When we sit here and when we discover our gift, it will change our life in how we live. Because when we're beginning to work along with how you've gifted us, we're going to begin to see your power in your life. We're going to begin to see how you use us in your kingdom and bless lives. And you'll bless us because of it. And you'll bless us as a family because this body will begin to function more and more the way you want it to function. As we bless one another, as we strengthen one another, as we love one another, And we move beyond the walls of this building to bless lives as well. We bring more people to be members of this body of Jesus Christ. And so give us the willingness, the boldness to look into this inventory.